What can you remember about the locomotives that were used on the Midland between Leeds and Normanton? Can you remember any of the types and the periods when different locomotives were used on different trains?
Yes, the local pickup goods, for example, they would have the 4S normally, or 3S. Some pickup goods are 8S, so we might have one of those occasionally, depending on circumstances. Certain shed provided the motive power for the local pickups, so they did have some 8S, but they would be put on the pickup goods very sparingly. There are plenty of 4S for that. For mainline work, slow-moving stuff, coal trains, etc., 8S were the mainstay. We were getting 9S as well. With no 9S shedded in our area, we were getting coming through from the south. For the express freight, there were nearly always Black 5s. They were the mainstay.
And what about the passenger trains? Can you remember that when they changed the types of engines that they used on that line?
Well, until we got the diesels came along, they were always Jubilees. I never heard of a Royal Scot working south of Leeds. They may have done, I don't know. They were all Jubilees and Black 5s on the passenger trains.
And what about in that period then? Did any A3s or A1s go south of Leeds regularly?
They never went through regularly. They used to go through by mistake, because when we got the A3s at Leeds and they worked northward, they quite often fail at Carlisle, and then they just set them back on anything. They would send them back on passing trains, never return them on a guts train. And the trouble was, they had some workings which didn't stop at Leeds to change the engines. If they put them on a Glasgow Leeds Express, great, we would find out the hard way when it turned it at Leeds Station. But they had to put him on train who went round the corner between Wildtail Junction and Engine Shed Junction, changed crews at Engine Shed Junction, where he went south. And occasionally we'd have an A3 on that, which would wander south.
And what
we
about...
We'd never know.
So you're pretty confident that the Royal Scots didn't work on, say, the Thames Clyde south of Leeds?
I'm confident that the only time we would get it is when dieselisation came along. Places like Kentish Town, at the Royal Scots shedded there, they could have got through to Leeds instead of a diesel, but I don't recall it. The possibility remains, but I never recall it at all.
So the Thames Clyde and the Waverley and those expresses that went from Leeds to Birmingham and Bristol...
Jubilee.
They would mainly be Jubilees.
Jubilees.
But what about Britannias?
We had a Britannia shed at Holbeck about 1950, aerial, I believe it's called, but that was mainly operated between Leeds and the north.
What was the passenger usage on those trains that came from London or from Bristol, Birmingham and Derby? Were there many passengers on those trains in the 50s and 60s?
Yeah, my impressions are all well laden.
Yeah. There were 12 gauge trains, I think, weren't they? And they're going up to Scotland.
Well, they didn't go to Scotland with 12, but you get 12 trains going to Bradford. I can visualise from Bradford to Leeds one of these 12 coach trains with, I'm just forgetting now, if it was either Midland 044 tank or the Lancashire Oxford 242 tank, not right sure which. But it was this Midland engine struggling from Bradford to Leeds and kept time, 12 coaches, which I thought rather incredible.
It was quite a performance at Leeds at about 2:30 in the afternoon when the northbound and the southbound Thames Clyde Express crossed over, wasn't it? Was that a hard job for you in control to get that right?
Well, it was a hard job for each station because only two platforms are used, Platform 5 and Platform 6. 1, 2 and 3 were the Suburbans, and they're operated by a different signalman at Wellington from a signalman who operated Platform 4, 5, 6 at Wellington. They were separate. One was semaphore signal, 1, 2, 3. It was colour light, 4, 5 and 6. Fours were... 5 and 6 you tend to reserve for the Anglo-Scotch expresses. If you're stuck, I suppose one would have to go under 4, but it was normal, 5 and 6. it was very complicated working because you change engines. You had to, the engine actually brought from the shed in advance and dumped outside the station, and then you got to get rid of the incoming engine back to the shed. So it's quite busy, a busy little job at the station. Another special feature of the Midland was that, unlike the London Northwestern, where every signal box knew what every train was, what conveyor they should tell each other, on the Midland, they knew nothing at all which went off beyond their limits. And as if the bell codes were introduced, and drivers had to whistle at certain points, such that if a driver, if you were on a freight train from Leeds direction, wanted to turn left at Methy Jukes to go towards Goole, you would get a special whistle at a certain box. I forget now which box it was, I've just gone from my mind. You whistled for the branch. So all drivers knew that, and the signal for the goods, which say 1-4 for a slow goof, was modified to say 1-4-5, which now meant a slow goods going to Goole. And so the Methy Junction knew what was coming. If the driver didn't whistle, afraid the train went straight on. Now, this is peculiar to that, and it had one unfortunate occurrence about 1960. Finally, shed, they had a Monday morning working only from Coppleyhill to Goole, the only day of the week. So one or two drivers knew the route Coppleyhill to Goole, came down to Coppleyhill, Whitehall Junction, Engine Shed Junction, up the Midland, whistle at its appropriate point, turn left at Methy Junction. It left about 6:40 a.m. just roughly. Also in the morning there was a 6 o'clock Leeds Liverpool parcels. One morning the driver slept in for the Leeds Liverpool parcels, so finally shed improvised and put the driver who should be on the Goole job on the parcels. The parcel driver came to work late. "Sorry, sir. Right, can you do the Goole job?" "Well, I've never worked before up the Midland from Sturton, but I'll know my way once I get to Methley, because I've gone to Goole that way. I'll be all right." So away he went on the Coppleyhill Goole, and of course he didn't whistle at the appropriate point, because being used to driving on the West LNW, he was never involved with whistlings, and he didn't whistle. He arrived at Normanton Station, saw the name Normanton written on the board, and came onto the telephone to control. "I'm sorry, I've got lost." So there was nothing else to do but terminate the train at Normanton and send him packing, I think. And that was it.
And so, yeah, that's right, because he once he got to Methley, he wouldn't know that he was going the wrong way till he got to Normanton.
No, he knew where he was. He assumed the signalman knew where he was going, because he was happy with the LNW system of signalman knowing what trains are.
They had those codes, I think, for both directions.
Universal in the Midland. You whistle for going what's called round the corner to Engine Shed Junction. You whistle for Hunslet, or you whistle for Sturton. So apart from the control knowing what the trains are, the signalman too should know what they are.